So, who made this mess on the floor? It's supposed to represent your triumphant entry. It's abstract, and it is palms sprayed out by the ministry lovingly to you to let you know that you triumphant, you are triumphant, that you walk in a triumphant being, loved unconditionally. You are free. You are untied. You are blessed by the Spirit of God only if we choose to be and to know. Well, I was about to say enough. I really don't like the word enough. It has a term of lack for me. I know it's big. You know, you are enough. You are enough. Well, in that vein, Unity Worldwide Ministries has the theme for this month. And I like it, the use of it this time. It is being enough. I rise up and reclaim my true identity as a sacred being. Being enough. I rise up and reclaim my true identity as a sacred being. So why does Reverend Crystal like the word enough here? Even though for her it seems kind of a hint of lack. I like it here because it says that no matter who you are, no matter where in life you think you are or you choose to accept to be, you still are enough to rise and to claim the victory of the truth of your being. No matter whether in lack or in joy of abundance, we are all it. You are it, I am it, and we are meant to rise. That's why I love this season. I love Easter because it always is telling us, identifying within us that we as humanity, we are the truth of us, or that we're spiritual people. And everything that we go through, anything that we do, is there for us to evolve, to rise up beyond our limitations and know that we are the sons, we are the daughters of God. And God so loves us. We are doing well. It wasn't just Jesus that got that message. It isn't just Jesus who the Holy Spirit lights up and moves upon. It is all of us. And so, no, speaking of Jesus, this is, by the way, the example. And so you hear a lot this month about Jesus because as the Fillmores moved through their developing unity, the one thing they stuck with was being Christian-based. Now, know that we're also New Thought, not New Age, New Thought. We're part of the group of religious or spiritual people like CSL and Christian Science and all those alternative kind of things. But people don't know this as well as they actually, the Fillmores kind of created, were a part of the creation of New Thought. They got kicked out. They got kicked out because they held firm to Jesus. And I feel like being Baptist to Jesus right now. And the reason why they did that was because they both got it that Jesus was a man that is an example for us to follow. That is why you hear us talking about how Jesus is the way shower or the shower of the way. Because Jesus is teaching, Jesus is ministry to the disciples, and then he told the disciples to tell us that we are it. We are powerful, we can create miracles, and all we have to do is follow the example. And so, even following the example of the triumphant entry, I invite you, I like to play around with the Bible. I like you to envision Jesus today. And if he was walking in to a city, he'd probably be a rock star, right? He'd probably get the rock star. That's what happened with him in Jerusalem, right? So he first of all, Jesus was all about fulfilling the law. In the Old Testament, it said that the Messiah would walk in on a donkey into Jerusalem, and that would be a sign to say that he was the Savior. And so he has already predicted, he being Jesus, has already been telling his crew, you know, I'm not going to be here for long. He's already seen his demise. He's already foretelling them that someone is going to betray me. Here in my beloved 12 crew, one of you is going to betray me, and I'm going to death. He foretold it. And they're all going, no, 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 not me, not me. Are you, you knew, not me. Of course, this is Crystal's version of the story. And as they were working their way, walking their way to Jerusalem, the holy city, Jesus told two of his disciples, go. Go to this place, go to this farm. You'll find a colt, a young donkey, tied up. Grab the donkey, bring it to me. Okay, so Jesus was telling the people, his disciples, to steal a colt. And they caught that. They were like, well, master, but teacher, what happens if the people see us? And Jesus just said, tell them that you're bringing the colt to me, that I'm in need of it. So, of course, the disciples went on their merry little way. They grabbed the colt. It was tied up to this house that Jesus told them to go to. Now, note that Jesus didn't really prearrange this according to the Bible. The owner came up and was like, what are you two doing? And they were like, Jesus told us to get the colt and take it to him. The person said, go. And so now the colt and Jesus enter. Now, go back to your imagination. He's a rock star. He comes on his colt, just like the scriptures say, and they're throwing palms down. They're throwing cloaks because he is the man. He is proven. He is great. He's woken the dead. He has healed the sick. He is moving. And so they're just treating him like a, they're up on trees going, whoa, hallelujah, hosanna. And he's walking on his donkey. Now, if it were you and me and you had this rock star treatment, where would your head kind of go? It'd be like, I'm the stuff. No, no, no. No, no, no. Yeah, okay, yeah. I will tell you, most of the people, I do know beloved spiritual people, and with included myself, the higher the goal, the thing that they battle against is, I don't want to get so popular that I feed into the rhetoric, feed into the hype about me. I want to be holy. I want to remain centered. I don't want to be bigger than my britches and believe that I'm something that I am not. And most of us, I think, as we are going through this evolution, as we are growing into our ownness, into the truth of who we are, we battle that. But Jesus did not. And here is the lesson. The lesson is that you can be triumphant because we remember that it's always darkest before the dawn. Jesus knew he was entering into Jerusalem to die. That's pretty dark. The bigger your challenge, the closer you are to your victories. The closest we are, the closer we are to the victory of knowing the truth that we are the Christ. So the beginning of freedom is knowing that you were never created to be depressed. You're never created to be defeated. None of us were ever created to be ashamed or condemned or felt that we were unworthy of the blessings of God. Actually, we were created to express and bring hold and grab hold of the blessings of God, to be abundant, to be of joy, to be victorious, to be free. And the way we do that is coming to the grasping, I don't like saying monkey mind. I like saying donkey mind. I like saying donkey mind because the characteristics of a donkey are these. And I researched this from, I guess, a donkey authority. Sounded good to me. A donkey is stronger than a horse of the same size. Did you know that donkeys have an incredible memory? They can recognize areas or other donkeys or people that they have seen that they haven't seen for 25 years. They can remember from 25 years ago someone or a place. They have that kind of memory. It's like an elephant memory, right? And the most important thing here is that a donkey will not do something it considers to be unsafe. You can't force it. You can't bribe it. You cannot move it. You can't hit it. Don't hit it because then it won't like you. It will never move for you. Donkey kind of reminds you of our mind, doesn't it? As much as we want and proclaim that we are changing and shifting, and I think we all are, there are times in our heads that we are stubborn. We know that we need to change. We are reading the books. We're looking at the movies. We're coming to church. And we are doing the work. And then there are still some times that we're scared to change. Because we're used to what is happening to us. Even if it's detrimental to us, at least we know what's going to happen. If I do what Crystal says and change and listen to God, I don't know what's going to happen. She says it's going to be good. But I at least know that if I do this, this is going to happen, and I can control that. I can't control what this thing called God, this energy called God is going to do. I'm supposed to trust it? I think all of us have gone that way. Those might not be your words, but those are your sentiment. That's your donkey mind talking. Because at some point in time in your life, that worked for you. And so you trust that. You don't have faith in that. Your donkey will not move from that. But here's how you train a donkey. Your independent mind, your ego. Training a donkey relies upon showing him or her by words and actions that they can trust you to protect them from harm. Again, they're not going to do anything that is unsafe. They learn what it is we want them to do if we take the time to show them. So I read this to you because there's several things about this Jesus story. First of all, the colt didn't know, we're told in the Bible, the colt didn't know Jesus. It was a baby. It wasn't a full grown. By the way, it was a baby. It was an innocent colt. It was immature. Just as Jesus is maturing in his knowing, so do we. But the beauty of this story is in its metaphysical interpretation. For Jerusalem, the holy city, symbolizes a habitation of peace. A habitation of peace in our own. So really, the story is all about once we control our donkey mind, we will move into a habitation of peace. And doesn't that make sense? Once we control the stories, the narrative that we go, once we realize that if we move and shift from the lack and limitation, from the things that cause anxiety, whether we're comfortable in them or not, and have faith and trust, get on our donkey, control it in love, and allow ourselves to be that which our ego will trust so that it will move out easily because it realizes it's safe. See, I know in Buddhism, in some aspects of unity, is kill the ego. But Charles Fillmore was really clear. It's not killing the ego, for God created everything for a purpose, including the ego. So this is all about spiritualizing your ego. Having your ego work for spirit, having your ego work for the presence of God, for the Christ consciousness, so that we can be in a habitation of peace, i.e., so that we can create heaven here on earth. That is what it is all about. Jesus, the Jesus story, is that we too can follow this pattern if we allow ourselves to release and let go. Allow the I am presence, which is also identified as Jesus, as the I am presence, to recognize the truth of itself, have faith in it, don't punish it. Again, the donkey mind needs to trust. So it isn't about killing the donkey mind. Can you imagine our ego every time we say we want to kill the ego? It reverberates, I'm not being killed. I'm going to do this thing more because I'm trying to protect you. It's a realization that the ego thinks it's doing the right thing. But the donkey mind has to know that it is safe. And that is part of the spiritualization of this. The Hosanna, the palms are thrown down. Metaphysically, the palms mean strength. And so you can visualize that everyone is seeing Jesus walk in because Jesus, to them, has the strength to overcome. You are all given palms. I invite you to keep those palms. And anytime you feel like you are less than or have very little strength, I invite you to look at your palm and say, Hosanna. Because you're going to say Hosanna because you're going to overcome. Hosanna is symbolically means the overcoming of error thinking, metaphysically. So when they were shouting Hosanna and throwing the palms, they were literally telling him, you are the man, you have the strength. You are that which is the symbol to overcome any erroneous thinking. I look at each and every one of you, and I see that you have the power. You are the power. You are as God has created you. You are the Christ. If I had a mirror, I'd look at me. We are that which is to move forward in loving ways. Not in punishing ourselves, not in the shoulda, woulda, couldas, but in love. So look at your palms, your palm tree things. You can look at your palms. So lift them up. They are the symbol of your strength, just as they were a symbol of Jesus' strength. And every time you see yourself shifting, changing from those erroneous thoughts, in joy and glee, say Hosanna to yourself, knowing that it is the Jesus within you, it is the Christ that is within you that you are glorifying. Yes, for anyone who hasn't heard the last couple of talks, I am saying that, and this is Fomorian, that every aspect of the Bible is an aspect of you. And so when we talk about the various places in the Bible, that's an aspect of you. Every character in the Bible, whether if it's a female, it's an emotion. If it's a male, it's an intellectual thing. And there is a Jesus within you that is showing us the way to our truth. The Jesus that is within you, that is you, will guide you to the evolution of the Christ. And that is to take hold of your monkey mind, because we have a job. We have a job, each and every one of us, to embrace the truth and the Christ of us. And so I will take Luke, the Bible. When Jesus was going to the synagogue, he was there for Passover. And, let me read it. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He went to the synagogue as the custom was on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and there was given to him a book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written. Know that as I read this, this is written for all of us, the truth of our Christedness. I also know that this was something that in my seminary at Unity Urban Ministerial School, this is what we had to remember, to know the truth of us. As we went through ministry, know that it isn't just me having gone through seminary. It's all of our mission in ministry of life. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and all eyes of the synagogue were on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I give it to you, let this scripture be fulfilled in your, each and every one of your hearing, because we are all here with the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon each and every one of us as us. We are each anointed to give greatness, to give great news to not only ourselves, to also to those out there. We're all anointed to give to the poor, all anointed to proclaim the release of the captives of what? Of our own negativity, that which binds us. For we are free and triumphant. We are free to claim this as our birthright of God, for ourselves and for others. To recover sight of the blind, let us see the truth of each and every one of ourselves. Let us make this the acceptable moment, the acceptable day, week, year, life, knowing that we, each and every one of us, are the Christ. And Jesus is the example. He just says, this is how we do it. This is how I did it. Try this because this is successful. So I say, let's do that. How do we do that? How do we become triumphant? Very easily. We have tools in unity. They're the same tools I give you every time. Denials and affirmation. Unity denials are all about not saying, oh, Sundash has a green shirt. It's not about that. It's about if there's any issues in your life that these things don't have power over you. If you're in lack and limitation, that is truth. If you have 1 cent in your bank account, that's a fact. But it doesn't have power over you. It's not going to throw you into lack or limitation. And you feel that as you erase that with an affirmation that basically tells you that God and I are one, that things are good. And we'll go to that in a second, but you can keep it up, Cindy. Thank you. Also, prayer and meditation. Be in constant communication with God. It is great to go into the alm, go into the silence. It's a beautiful thing because it gets us out of our donkey mind. It's great to always communicate, but know that every conversation that we have is a communication with God. Always know and be at one with that communication. Understand what you're saying, what you're preaching, what you're expecting. Lastly, take action. It's good that we all can do the self-help stuff. We're reading the books. We're coming to church. We're looking at the great movies, and we're with Gaia. Whatever it is, we're doing the work. But it doesn't mean anything unless we actually take action. Actually step into the greatness. Do what it says to do. That is the only way that we're going to be free, unbound, unlimited. Have faith that you, each and every one of us, beloved, are the ones to create greatness on this earth. We have the charge. We are the ones. And so with that, if you would like a denial and affirmation, let me read it to you, and then if you agree with the denial and affirmation, we'll read it together. The denial, I release everything that holds me back. Affirmation, the Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I am triumphant and free. If that feels right for you, if you can agree with that, let us read that together. I release everything that holds me back. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I am triumphant and free. Breathe that in. Let that vibration crack you open. And let's say that one more time. Feel it. Inhale it as we say it. I release everything that holds me back. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I am triumphant and free. And so it is, and so you are. Amen. Amen.